This week we are reading from the last portions of Leviticus, and we read a double portion this weekend, and then we conclude tomorrow with a great commendation to one another, Chazak, Chazak, V'nichazek, be strong, and let us encourage one another. There's something about reading the Word of God that is supposed to give power to us and is supposed to equip us. And every time we complete the reading of a book, we should encourage one another. You're keeping up. You are receiving life from the Lord. And thus we encourage each other. This week's reading is a very interesting reading because it does include some blessings and some curses. I don't know about you, but whenever I come upon the blessings and curses, I get a little nervous reading the curses. How many of you prefer the blessing side? Okay, well, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you because I want to point out to you three blessings that you may not have noticed in this week's readings. And they're three blessings that are promised not to specific individuals, but to a whole community. And in sharing this with you, I hope something will happen to you. I hope you'll become stronger in your relationships with others in the congregation. Because there are things that God wants to do together with us that He's not going to do just through one of us. Now, many times when we think of blessings, we think in terms of individuals. When we pray for blessings, we pray for individuals. But this week's portion gives us vision for blessings that touch the whole nation of Israel and touch community. So it's bigger than what one person experiences alone or bigger than what one family experiences. And I want to start by reading with you from Leviticus chapter 26, starting in verse 4. We're going to read through verse 10, and then I want to show you these three blessings that are here. Now, in the first few verses, it does say that if you're following God, if you're listening to God and obeying Him and walking in His instruction, certain blessings will come upon you, and that's what I want to read from in verse 4. Then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage. How many of you know what threshing is? Who can define threshing? You're separating the grain from the actual edible grain from everything else. And it's often done by beating things. So your threshing, the grain that you get by threshing, will last till the time of vintage. And the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Verse 6, I will give shalom, peace in the land. And you shall lie down and no one will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts and the sword will not go through your land. Verse 7, you will chase your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Sounds like the IDF here, doesn't it? Your enemies will fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. That's what I want to look at. I want to describe to you three blessings that are mentioned here and in this general passage. The first blessing is the blessing of victory. Say that with me, victory. Victory. Being victorious together. Now, it's one thing to have victory by yourself. It's another thing to have victory together. And there are times, in fact, when you will need someone else joining with you in order to have victory. You're not going to get victory all by yourself. There are times, for instance, when one person all by themselves will not succeed. Do you remember what Ecclesiastes said? One is easy to overcome. Two can defend themselves. But a cord of three strands is not easy to break. And it also says that two have a good reward for their labors. And if one falls, the other one can lift him up. There are times when you are in a battle and you can't win by yourself. How many of you have had the experience I have had? You fought battles and lost. Some people can't identify that they fought battles and lost because they haven't been fighting. You know, one of the ways, you know, people try to negotiate peace in their life is they try to get out of the battle. It's sort of like saying to the enemy, well, I'll leave you alone if you'll leave me alone. But because it doesn't really work like that, he doesn't really leave us alone. So victory comes by standing together in battle and winning, and some victories come by putting the enemy to flight. The enemy comes to fight you, but he flees. And I want you to look at verse 8 again. Actually, we'll look at verses 7 and 8 here. We want to get some ratios. You will chase your enemies. Now there we don't know what the ratio is, but it's one to many, right? Say that with me. One to many. And then verse 8, five of you will chase 100. What's the ratio there? 1 to 20. So you're 20 times stronger than the enemy. And then here's the next one. 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. What's the ratio there? Everybody says, I don't have that many fingers or toes. 100 to 1. That's right. So it's 1 to many, and then it's 1 to 20, and then it's 1 to 100. You can put it the other way. That you will have the strength of many, and together with others, you will have the strength of 20. And together with others, you'll have the strength of 100. How many would like the strength of 100? Are there any battles you fought where you knew if you were just twice as strong as you had been, you would have won? But you lost because you were just as strong as you were. Imagine being 100 times stronger than you are. That is what's being promised to you. Now here's the thing. It's not that you are going to become, you know, a good Goliath or Superman or something like that. There are other things going on. I want to tell you two things that are going on here. Number one, you're not fighting by yourself. You're fighting together with others. One of the great sorrows that people have is that they have battles in life that need to be won, but they have no one to fight with. And so they're easily defeated because they are all by themselves. So this teaches us something, that the greatest victories come when you can fight together with others. When you can trust other people to stand with you, to protect you, to fight you, to cover your back. When you can be confident that other people are going to seek your good, they're going to pray for you and pray with you, they're going to look for the good result that you are hoping for. That is part one. And part two is, even though you're fighting together with people on your side, it is not just human multiplication. It's not natural multiplication. It's that because you are walking with God and because you are obedient to God, the favor of God is being poured out upon you and God is doing some of the fighting for you. Let me give you some scriptures that speak of this. I like what Joshua said. It's in chapter 23, verse 10. One of you will rout 1,000. That's an even better ratio, isn't it? Because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. Maybe you have been in a situation, even recently, even now, where you're fighting, but you feel like you're doing all the fighting. And you're growing weary, and you feel like, I can't keep doing this. And the Lord says, with me fighting, you'll be able to put 1,000 to flight because I'll fight for you, just as he promised. And then I love also what Psalm 20, verse 5 says, because it's an expression of solidarity. It says, we will shout for joy when you are victorious. and we will lift up our banners in the name of our God. Your victory brings joy to us. When we heard about Bob's victory over cancer, it brought joy to us. When we heard about your award, Teacher of the Year, Brian, it brings joy to us. When you have a victory, it brings joy to us. And it causes us to want to worship the Lord. And then I love how this verse ends. May the Lord grant all your requests. You see, some people don't have victory because when they see others in victory, they become jealous and they covet. And they even wish that person didn't have victory because they think, if they didn't have victory, I could have had victory. It doesn't really work like that. The economy of God is not like that. Covetousness gets you nothing. That kind of jealousy and envy doesn't multiply anything. What brings multiplication is rejoicing in someone else's victory. Rejoicing even if you need the victory too. And not being so insecure that you can't be happy for someone else who just had a hard-earned victory. And the sign that our hearts are right is we can say, may the Lord grant all your requests. Rather than going home and saying, none of my students even like me. Or why, God, do you like him so much or her so much and you don't like me? You see, that is not the heart of the victorious. That's the kind of person who's drawing in on themselves. The victorious ones are the ones who can expand their reach to include the concerns and the well-being of other people. And just so that you understand, in Revelation, it often describes the victorious ones in this phrase, to he who overcomes. Have you ever heard that? To the one who overcomes. In other words, the one who's victorious, who wins the battle. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, it says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over nations. And in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. I love that. So there's victory. That is one of the blessings. And it's not just individual victory, it's community victory. The second blessing is the blessing of harvest. Harvesting together. Sowing at the right time. Reaping at the right time. But think about all that's involved in a harvest. If you have any experience in planting, you understand some of these things. That you have to actually prepare the soil. You don't just sow on unprepared soil. You have to cultivate the soil. You have to prepare it. And then you have to sow at the right time. If you sow too early or too late, you don't get the crop. And then you not only have to sow it, but you have to water and feed what you have sown. You have to take care of what has been sown. And then when it's time, you have to reap the harvest. And reaping involves work, but it's not the last work. You also have to do the preparation, for instance, the threshing, the separating of the grain. And then you have to work with the grain, if grain is what we're talking about, and grind that grain and then make bread out of it. So there's a lot of work to harvesting. Some of us only like to harvest using the method of reaping where we haven't sown. How many of you have that, you know, like secret desire? I don't like doing all the work, but I sure like to harvest. Well, the fact is, most of our reaping is going to be where we have sown. Most of our harvest is going to be experienced by those who actually put the work into it. The incredible blessing of harvest is like this, that you'll be able to have enough to eat from one harvest to the next. But it goes even further when it mentions that sabbatical year, that in the year you don't sow or reap, you'll actually have already had a double portion that will carry you through to the next time of sowing and reaping. And in the Jubilee year, that special year where you have a double Shabbat, if you will, you'll have enough to last you through that. And that's what God is promising to us. And he is saying to Israel, this is how I see the kingdom of God working in this land among this people. I see harvest time. And I see maybe not everyone is going to have a perfect crop or always have everything. Sometimes some people are going to be in need and come to you, but you'll have plenty. And you'll be able to share with them. You see, the promise is for the community, that the community will be able to harvest. And that means the community will know how to work at the right time and how to work together. And then the third blessing is the blessing of rest. Say that. Rest. The blessing of rest. Resting together. Now, I want you to know this. If you have victory, if you have harvest, you can rest. But if you don't have victory and you don't have harvest, it's really difficult to rest. If your enemy is always coming at you, even on Shabbat, you got to fight on Shabbat. Am I right? And if you come in to the evening of Shabbat and you've just been whipped by the enemy, what measure of praise do you think you're going to be offering? The obligatories. But it's not going to be substantial. That's why the scripture teaches us, come filled with the Spirit. Come having a victory in the presence of God so that you're not starting out empty and then getting full, but you're starting out full and then your cup overflows. And then rivers of living water will flow out from you. If you don't have food, if you don't have harvest, it's hard to rest. But if you know that your work is producing so much that you can rest, and if you know that the protection of God is upon you and the strength of your community is great so that your enemies are fleeing from you, you're not always hoarding and worried, is it going to run out? Am I going to have enough? And so rest is possible. It's very, very difficult for people in defeat to rest. And it's very, very difficult for people who have nothing to rest. These three blessings were conditional. They required that Israel walk humbly and faithfully with God. Tomorrow, I want to show the connection between this kind of group victory and group harvest and group rest and the way that Yeshua discipled his followers and taught them how to work together to bring in the harvest, how to serve together so that the victory of God was experienced by everyone together, and how to take that victory and that harvest blessing and turn it into real rest together, where they could cease from their labor, but they could rejoice because they had been so productive. So I'll be sharing about that tomorrow. I want to close with the words of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. If you have the need for strength, if you have the need for help, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the guys to come up here with the tallit. You know, there are times when we run out of our own strength. How many of you have run out of your own strength in the last week or two? How many right now are out of your own strength? There is no shame in running out of your strength. The only thing to be embarrassed about is if you run out of your own strength and you try to replenish it yourself and you don't actually stop and say, God, I need your help. That, I think, can bring defeat to us. So I want to pray for everyone who needs what Isaiah was promising to us, which is that strength that comes from the Lord, that deliverance from fear, that courage that comes from God. If you need courage, come up here. If you need strength, come up here. If you need God's help, come up here. If you need to know that there is victory ahead of you, come on up here. I have a strong desire for you that you would experience a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That you would yearn for more of God and open yourself up to more of Him and He would fill you up. That you could be like a jug, empty, that a lot can be poured into. Lord, we stand before you. Because we need you. We need help. We need strength. We need courage, Lord. We need you. And we ask, Lord, that you would pour your Holy Spirit into us. That you would fill us up, Lord. Lord, we're tired of being empty. We're not ashamed of being empty, but we don't want to stay in that condition. We don't want to be weak because of our own weakness. You said you would fight for us. And we need your victory, Lord. Thank you for Yeshua's victory. We want to walk in that same victory. We want to be obedient to you. We know, Lord, that there are blessings that come to us simply because we're walking in obedience, not because we've gotten that we've learned something, but we're just with you in a different way. Lord, I pray for the weary that you would make them fresh and strong. I pray for those who have been discouraged, who have been wondering, why are you answering prayers for other people and not for me? That they would rejoice and say about others, may God grant all your requests. And Lord, we pray for those who are facing serious, serious issues, that you would bring them your healing, your deliverance, your freedom. I lift up my sister Toby to you, and I pray, Lord, that you would heal her of her serious illness now, that you would bring her close to you. Lord, thank you for your mercy, which is forever. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Let me ask my wife to come stand with me. So no one's alone, including me. Yivarechecha Adonai, v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you and keep watch over you and give you power to chase the enemy away. The Lord lift up his face to you and shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with all of his favor. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom and rest in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.